The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you. Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days, after the time of distress, the sun will be darkened, the moon will lose its brightness, the stars will come falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then too he will send the angels to gather his chosen from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven." Take the fig tree as a parable. As soon as its twigs grow supple and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. So with you, when you see these things happening, know that he is near at the very gates. I tell you solemnly, before this generation has passed away, all these things will have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. As for that day or hour, nobody knows it, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, no one but the Father. The Gospel of the Lord. I think when we get the events like the terrorism in Paris yesterday, when we seem to be hearing one day after another the corruption in high places that affects industry, banking, sport, religion, many other uncertainties, a lack or a change of faith so that people believe in anything or everything, a time of persecution stronger than maybe for a long time of belief, and obviously of Christians too. Many people look and they think, this is the end times. What strikes you about the first thing about the gospel is, it's quite difficult. It was difficult for the Christians that Mark was writing to in the first century. It's even more difficult for us at one level today. Because the passage Mark we've just heard from belongs to a style of literature called apocalyptic. The best known example of it in the Bible, of course, is the last book of the Bible, which is Apocalypse or Revelation. But it's also Daniel that we had the first reading, and bits of Ezekiel too. But it's usually written at a time of persecution and mental anguish, attempting to restore a belief in God that was still in charge of the world, and there's still reason to hope. And that's why it was right that we sing that love divine, which is this love himself, because God is love, comes to us, and nothing can take it from us, even though they may blow us to bits. Because in time of distress, our imaginations can run riot, can be very active, creating fantastic pictures of doom and gloom, but also, of course, of escape. Often great films can be great escapes from things. And obviously that Daniel reading at a time of great distress is part of, and always has been, part of life. And Jesus picks that and warns of a similar great distress and persecution of terrible events, the tribulation that would precede his return in glory. And so he's warning us always to be on our guard. Now, Mark was writing at a time when that was happening for the different Christian gatherings. The key leaders, Peter and Mark, a lot of Mark's gospel is fed by a lot of what St. Peter told him. Peter and Paul have just been martyred in Rome. It's just prior to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem that has never been rebuilt since AD 70. So all that is what the people that are gathering like we are tonight, when they were gathering in the Christian community there, were surrounded with. But it's also possible that Jesus was also referring to what will happen at his own death. Because he says the sun will be darkened. And Mark says in his passion narrative that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Could it be that the powers in the heavens that will be shaken, that he speaks about there, are the evil spirits that he's actually confronted, and they've been on the run ever since they met him in the synagogue in Capernaum? Because Mark's very clear, whenever evil meets the Lord, he confronts them. And they say, we know who you are, you're the Holy One of God. And are they the spirits that are released, as it were, since the coming of the Lord? And if all that's true, it gives more sense or significance to the words that he says, I tell you solemnly, before this generation has passed away, all these things will have taken place. Because the time of Jesus and the generation of Jesus lived to see the destruction of the temple and of Jerusalem itself. They lived in that savage and severe persecution. But if he was also speaking about of his own death, like all endings, that calamitous events also herald a new beginning. Whenever you think of fire, and you think fire is devastating, we see fires and the scorched earth and destruction. But it also purifies and brings that new life. And if you reflect on bonfire night, when you have huge bonfire and the next day it's just little ashes, but if it's burnt where the ground was, in time it will all revive and come again. And like all these endings, Mark is saying that the Son of Man, Jesus, who Daniel refers to as the Son of Man, will come, will gather all his chosen from the four corners of the earth. So this text does gather all of us together, Jesus gathering the faithful into the new Jerusalem. But it may also refer to the fact that Jesus was to send out his disciples first to baptize the people in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, before we can be gathered into the new Jerusalem. That's why I've referred, I know I wasn't here last Sunday, but Saturday night. But all the 4 weeks now, including tonight, have brought in Jerusalem. Our buildings that are always a sign of heaven, Jerusalem, as it were, our earthly sign, the Jerusalem above, where we join the worship of heaven. That's why. And in Rome, the 4 great basilicas of St. Peter, St. Paul's, St. John Lateran, St. Mary Major, are like the 4 corners of the earth. And the Lord gathers us from the 4 winds, from the 4 corners that he's speaking of there. So we reflect all that. The saints that we think about populate, as it were, the heavenly Jerusalem. The fallen that we remembered last week in war, that too, as the faithful departed, part of heaven, and now Jesus bringing us all together to that new Jerusalem. So there's many things in this reading, the multi-layered gospel, as it were, because there's many things you can mark from it. But it marks the beginning of that new humanity that will reach its fulfillment at the end of time, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before him, lost in wonder, love, and praise. See, it's all coming together. And so, what we celebrate here, one way or another, each week, each day, in the Mass, is gathering all that together. So that how much of what we say and we do when we're at every Mass encapsulates the whole of our Catholic faith, for that is what Jesus
gives us. And what we say is, he's died, but we look forward to his coming again. All the acclamations in the Eucharist as the Lord comes to our altar, the mystery of faith. We proclaim your death, Lord, until you come in glory. And as the liturgical year, as it were, draws to a close this week, next week, with Christ the King, and then we look again to Advent in 2 weeks' time, Pope Francis has said, but this year, we're also moving on as well. He's giving us this year of mercy. In that year of mercy, we've two appointments to keep with Jesus. The second is at the end of time, and it may come in that year of mercy, but it may not, because no one knows but the Father. But the first is when Jesus meets us week by week, day by day, and sends us out to finish the job with him. While we're here, that's why at the end you're sent out to proclaim, announce the good news of the Lord, which will then prepare all to meet him when he comes again.